Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm going to make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And today we are here, just the two of us, talking all about, I went very Long Island just now, friendship, our friendship, how friendships change, you know, the evolutions of friendships as we get older. We get a lot of emails about like the dynamics of, you know, how to make friends. Is it time to sunset this friendship? You know, friendships. When relationships...
We're always growing and changing.
We're always growing, changing, giving, receiving. So, like, especially around bridesmaid stuff, like, there's a lot of things there. Boyfriends.
Well, I think as people's, like, stages of life become less, like, in sync. Because, like, basically for the first 21 years of life, mostly we're in school. And most of the time, like, we're pretty much, like, thrown together in interactions like classes and so big social events. And I think after a certain point, friendships definitely evolve as people sort of like take their own paths in life and maybe like discover themselves more or discover significant others or that they want to move somewhere else or who knows, could be anything.
Yeah, a lot of changes, especially when you move and you have to make new friends. That's like a big one. When in big transitions, like if you have a kid or if you just moved to like the suburbs, which I have done, there's like opportunity to like, not even opportunity, but like you're less likely to see the people you used to see because of geographic convenience.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it also pressure tests like the friendships you do have, who do you make time for, you know, and where do you spend your time? Because it's, there's just more travel.
Okay, so maybe we should set the stage. Aileen and I have been friends since, like, I would say our real friendship began, like, I had your number in my phone when we were in, like, sixth grade?
What phones did we have back then?
The Razor or the Nokia?
I think I had...
Like, I'm pretty sure I did text you on a Nokia phone, actually.
I think I had, like... Yeah. I had a Nokia, and I covered it. I got a new cover for it. It was, like, translucent hot pink. Loved it. Nothing's changed.
I went to the dazzled mine. Like, I glued the rhinestones.
Yeah, it's cool.
I did that. Yeah. So, okay, we've been friends for so long. Obviously, we also... Halfway into our friendship, we became business partners, which is basically, like, a three-way sister-wife marriage with Jordana, like, actually, which has definitely, like, changed the dynamics, I would say. I mean, I'll just be, like, straight up, like, I miss us just being friends a lot. I miss, like, that we could just, like, interact and there's, like, no business to talk about or associate you with. And I do wish that... Not to say I wish we didn't have it. Obviously, I'm very, very happy that we have it. But sometimes I do wish that, like, we could literally just, like, not have work in the brain and, like, just sort of really just be friends the way I'm friends with, like, our other friends.
Right.
We're not business partners.
It's so difficult, right, though? Like, it's because it's not like we work for the company, like, this is our brain that's like, it's in my DNA at this point.
Yeah. It is literally in our DNA. It's a shared brain.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And it's definitely difficult to, you know, go in and out, but it was a lot easier pre-pandemic, I think, because we would make time to like sort of do our like going out.
Well, we would go on trips.
We would, like, go on trips and see. Yeah, and then we wouldn't really talk about work. So it was like there were more opportunities, but it is so much harder to sort of say, okay, let's go to dinner and make plans, but like, let's not talk about work. Like, that's really hard.
That's not going to happen. Like, at this point, like, it's just not, because we love work. Like, we do love work. Yeah, like, yeah, we care about it so much that we want to talk about it. But then also, it is serious and it has consequences. So yeah, you don't want to talk about it because you do want your friendship to just be like fun. And like, okay, I'll even think like yesterday, okay, yesterday we went to Ariel's engagement party and I was just like, okay, like I see Aileen every day. Like I don't have to talk to her, but like, but I would like to talk to you.
I know.
Like,
I want to talk.
Yeah. But then, right, then I'm like, okay, well, I want to hear about like living at the Drexlers. Like, you know what? But like, then it's like, okay, well, I'll probably just like catch her on the Zoom for 5 minutes. Like, and it's like,
I'll ask you about it on DST. Yeah.
Right. Because, and then it becomes like our, like we have conversations about our lives through the podcast and like learn about. Yeah.
I was going to say that like, then it becomes like, okay, what material or conversations do you want to have for the first time, but save it for DST? Because for any audience, all audience who are listening, like that is a reality. We'll just be like, wait, let's talk about this on the podcast. But then it's like, you and I are not having like private conversations at all.
Well, then our private conversations will become like, what are we too afraid to say on the podcast? Uh-huh. Is the only content of the private conversation.
Or just like what's appropriate and how do we tie it into like the point of the show? But anyway.
Yeah. And then it becomes, yeah. And I mean, even this podcast, especially because weight was always, and food has always been a huge part of our relationship,
mm-hmm,
before this. Before
something that Betches. We related to each other often. And just like the ways that we coped with weight or like,
yeah.
But we also, you and I always like enjoy, we always, I thought a big thread of our relationship was like good TV or like good movies and good writing. And like, you know, we love Bret Easton Ellis.
Yes.
Like all of, we contributed to his Kickstarter. Remember that?
Oh my gosh. For the canyons that Lindsay Lohan was in.
Do you know that he has a podcast that you pay for and he's reading a new book on through a podcast. And I hear it's very good, and I really want to sign up for it. But you have to pay for it, and it's kind of expensive, but I want to do it. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you, but I guess I'm using it to tell you on the podcast.
Yeah, like I always thought that, good writing. I feel like a good time was always like a thread of our, like we like to have a good time. We like to enjoy ourselves. We like to like embrace joie de vivre. you know what I mean?
Or just like embrace our own ridiculousnesses.
Yeah. And, but then when like 90% of our interactions are through work, you can't fully go there.
Can't be that ridiculous too.
Right. You can't fully go there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and that I think is what I miss the most.
Right.
About not having a business together.
I'm on that bus with you.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make
a joie de vivre time. And we have like 4 hours a month where we just like,
Clown town.
We go to clown town.
I'm down. Except my clown town days are going to be very
hard. Especially right. And now, right, you're gonna have to take like
anytime I want to clown around, I need to get a babysitter.
Right. And okay, that I think brings us back to sort of like the beginning of this with like not just us, but as people's stages of lives change, you have to deal with a babysitter now. like that's the thing. Like that is like a place that your mind now is occupied by that like we used to share not having that. And now you have like a space in your mind for like all the baby things.
Right.
And that is what I think brings friends apart sometimes.
I think before that though, the biggest shift in friendships is when significant others come in, because you're no longer telling your best friend. The best friend is no longer the first person you really tell something to. Your best friend might be the first person you tell like disgusting things to.
Something. It won't be everything anymore though.
Yeah, but not like, not how you're feeling or something like that. And, you know, like it starts to shift when somebody gets into a relationship and you stop telling them like, oh, how often you're having sex or like, you know, things like that. And you start to keep that more private. I feel like that is the most significant shift between when it comes to I think female friendships at the very least.
I was going to say that as well as the dynamic when friends tend to do the same things at the same times, groups of friends. So friends tend to get boyfriends at the same time and they tend to get engaged at the same time and they tend to start getting pregnant at the same time. Right now, I have 3 friends who are pregnant, all do like August to November.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm trying to think, do I have more?
Well, you just had another friend who just had a baby too.
Yes.
So she counts.
I had 2 friends who just had a baby. I also had a friend who gave birth this weekend in Israel. So,
okay. You
know, yeah. Different friend. But babies are popping out. Like, they're just, my life is a whack-a-mole of babies. So I'm not actually whacking the babies. But yeah, like, I think that friends tend to do things together. And I almost feel like the experience of doing things together maintains friendships that might have expired otherwise. Mm-hmm. So when you are able to keep a friendship through different life stages, that's a very special thing.
I agree with you. I agree. And I think it's also, it takes work too. Like, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think a lot of people say, you know, oh, if it takes work, it's not worth doing. Necessarily, like, it should be easy to maintain friendship. I think anything that you find is worth putting in work is worth maintaining, right?
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Okay, when you say work, I think people, when something that I think of often, I'm like, okay, when we say relationships take work, whether it's couple or friend, whatever, yeah. What work? What is the work?
What is work?
Because it's actually not that hard. I think of a marriage as a different level of work than a friendship, clearly. But I think when it comes to a friendship, if you really want to maintain it, is it that hard?
No, but it just requires more energy and requires, like, you not to fall back on your just day-to-day and not get stuck in, like, your bubble. I think that part is sort of the hardest to get pull yourself out of and say, oh, let me check in with this person. Let me make sure to text this person about, like, this thing I'm watching. Because, like, you know, it just requires, like, another level of energy. And to me, I don't think that that's a bad thing, like, to – because I feel like I can hear myself saying this and then somebody else being like, well, if it takes so much effort, then why is it worth pursuing that friendship? But to me, it's just like some people just like get comfortable in their just routine. And then they're just a year later, they're like, wait, where did all my friends go? You know?
Right.
And that I think is important, is just to sort of reach out here and there. Make sure to, like, move things around, to come to a girl's dinner, plan a girl's dinner, invite people, you know, like, things like that, where no significant others are also invited. Like, maybe there's also that dynamic of, like, when do you bring your partner and do double dates or whatever, triple, quadruple dates? Right. And when do you not?
Right. That is a navigation as well. And it often depends on, like, how do the partners get along? Like, you know, yeah, but do they, are they easy with each other? Like, is it?
Yeah. It becomes another weird level.
That, yeah, that it does.
I think is adds a layer of potential difficulty, because it's so much easier when the partners get along. But just to go back to the effort work question, when things aren't so amazing all the time, let's say you check in, blah blah blah, maybe somebody's pissing you off. It's so much easier to just sort of be like, ugh, I don't have to see them that often. I don't have to say anything, and then it festers. I think part of the work, which is the uncomfortable part, not necessarily hard part, but emotionally hard, is to say something like, hey, like, can I talk to you about something? And then maybe that'll bring you closer too. But that, I think that's all part of the quote unquote work that's required.
Right. Having the conversation that, like, might not go well, or like might make things worse for a little bit, or it might make things better. But also, okay, something that I've been thinking about that maybe doesn't even go like noticed is, you know how we get so many of like our habits and just like our impressions of the world, like our schemas from our parents? Mm-hmm. I think that like our view of friendship is very impacted by our parents' view of friendship. Like, do your parents have friends? How did your parents make friends? How deep are your parents' friendships? How, like, do you have like an aunt so-and-so? Like, you know, I think that I do think it goes unsaid how much your parents model for you what friends look like and what it means to be a good friend. Like, how much are you on the phone with friends? How much are you on the phone with, you know, that kind of thing. And I say this because both my mother and my grandfather had friends since they were five, like from they were like children. Like, there were people who knew my grandfather since he was 6 years old at his funeral. Like, my mom's friends are her friends from growing up in Roslyn. Like, and I watched her and him like maintain these friendships over years. I watched them have fights with people where they just couldn't stand them for like months at a time and then make up with them. Mm-hmm. And like, I watched them talk to them and keep up over holidays. And like, I feel like it showed me, oh, like, and now I have, you know, our friends have been friends forever. Like, and I feel like, to me, it like taught me like, okay, like, you keep your friends. These are the actions that constitute friendship. And they should be important in your life, and you should try to make them long lasting and deep. Mm-hmm. Because, and like, to me, I've never even like seen any other like way.
Yeah.
To relate to friends.
Yeah, I think my parents, I was just thinking about this, like, I don't know if my parents had, when I was growing up, that many friends with them because they like immigrated here. But then I'm thinking back, no, that's not true. They have, no, but when you're younger, that's when you're the most impressionable. And I was like, wait, that's not true. They had like their Russian friends that immigrated here too. And the ones that we like always hung out with, that I sort of just went along with, were the friends like my dad, they have the most stories with, like the most like, they're family-esque friends that you go sleep over for a weekend's time and you spend time together, and they're always drinking and I'm like playing with the kids, and it's like a family friend. It's called a family friend.
Yes, it's a family friend. Yeah.
And it's a very close family friend that lasts forever. And it's like a not superficial bullshit kind of friendship.
No.
And that's what I grew up around too, actually. My mom has like they made new friends here who are also Russian.
And your parents have a lot of friends. Like, my impression of your parents is that there's friends in the picture. And I'm sure that now.
But it's just different types of people, but it's like people who've been around forever. Right. And yeah, I guess that's the model for sure.
And I do feel so grateful. Like, I do feel like this is one area of my life where I'm like, I am so grateful, and I want to like learn how to be a better friend because I know, I see how hard it is for people to make friends as an adult, like real deep friendships. Like, it's genuinely challenging. Like, I think about who my mom's friends are. Like, she's only made a few of those, and most of them are like longer lasting, but like, Okay, so I feel like the question we should answer is, like, how do you make friends as an adult? Have you made any friends as an adult?
What constitutes as an adult? I don't feel like an adult right
like
now.
Like post college.
I'm friends with like my now like in-laws.
you're friends with Rusty's friends' wives.
Friendly, yeah, we're friendly.
Right. Okay. It's easier to become friendly with someone than it is to become friends. I will say that.
Yeah. I think I'll probably make more friends as I have kids or like I move to my house in the suburbs and like have like fucking mommy and me shit.
Yeah. I do think you make like real friends at that kind of thing. You can make friends at work.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend from college from Binghamton that's still my close friend.
But this is how do you make friends as an adult?
I think your work friends you sort of again, like you have to put an effort to say like, oh, it's so much easier to do as a kid because you're so much less self-conscious.
Yeah.
But like you just have to kind of be willing to put something
and I've actually started trying to like just be a little more friendly like post-pandemic is something that like I want to be more social instead of like my hermit self. Like I do feel that I actually get a lot of benefit and I feel better when I'm interacting with people. And so I want to become a little bit less of like a hermit and like less avoidant. Yeah. And what I've realized is that you just have to like initiate. You just have to be like, hey, would you ever want to like grab lunch or like grab a drink or whatever it is? Like, and I think finding people that you have something in common with and where you sort of both feel like you have something in common, and it's just like you just have to ask, I think, and put yourself out there, and it's like a little weird sometimes and you're a little worried they're gonna say no.
You know what I find the hardest, most challenging for me is like believing someone when they offer you like, oh, I'm here if you like ever want to help
talk
or like, you know, like it's just like, what's your ulterior motive? Yeah. But I think the key is to take, like, I don't actually mean that when I say that. Like, I don't actually have trouble trusting them. I'm just, like, in my back of my head, I'm so not used to, you know, people outside of my bubble just being like, oh, you want to hang out? You want to do this? You want to do that? So, like, if that happens to you, you don't always have to be the one to initiate, but you do have to be the one to say, okay, this person is being serious. They're reaching out, and I am looking for some more camaraderie in this area of my life. So maybe I'll take you up on that and make an effort to go out of your comfort zone, because it's so much easier to say, oh, I'm a little busy and just, like, stay, you know, and watch Handmaid's Tale. So I think that part is, and then you just have to get over like the awkwardness of like the first date
with your friend,
with a potential friend.
I think working on like receiving from a new person you don't know without feeling like, oh my God, is this like a pity friendship? Like I think that is, I once read that like, someone doing a favor for you endears them to you more than you doing a favor for them. So like accepting whatever they're giving you or offering, I think actually is a muscle because we're so not used to taking compliments or accepting help or whatever it is. But, you know, I also think an interesting thing is like, because we have had these long, long friendships, there's a little bit of like a thick as thieves kind of vibe like, that we have. And I think that has maybe prevented us from like exercising that muscle of like a new person might just be being friendly and like if they might mean it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Let's just now switch to a different thing. Like, I think another big piece of this is like knowing when to let go. Or like there's different parts of it. There's like knowing when to let go of someone who has become surface level, when to take a surface level friendship to the next level. It's like there's all these different dynamics that I think make it so challenging. But like ultimately, it's like a less serious form of dating.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we also just to let everybody know, we are addressing like listener messages. Like you guys wrote in so many questions. about, you know, navigating friendships. So I know it's like really on your mind. Like how do you, like the first one, how do you make friends as an adult? So do you want to go through like what's the best way to end a friendship?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should talk about that.
Why would you end a friendship, Sammy?
Honestly, I can only think of like one friendship that I genuinely am like, this has got to be over.
Really?
And the person
is it me? I'm just kidding.
Why would it be you?
I'm just kidding.
You think the one person is you? The one person.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Eileen, take my please receive my love.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. I think the reason to end a friendship rather than just sort of let it lie, like I think you can like let a friendship lie and just not be close anymore without ending a friendship. The only reason I think there is to actually end a friendship is because the person is genuinely toxic to you and or your relationships and your life, and you feel that they are harming you emotionally. That's the only reason I would like cut somebody off. But I would like sort of just trickle out.
You would let
someone I didn't
fizzle.
Feel like. Yeah, I would let I would allow a fizzle. But like, here's the thing with a fizzle can come back at a different point in your life. Mm-hmm. Like I've had many fizzles and recuperations, and I think that that's like okay. Mm-hmm. Because like sometimes like maybe you're like in a little different place for a minute, and then maybe sometimes like you have something like really in common and you are, they're the perfect person for you to talk to and you suddenly relate again. Like, I don't think that that is, I don't know, maybe other people wouldn't agree with me and wouldn't like that I fizzled them, but, you know, but I don't mind being fizzled either.
I wouldn't mind being fizzled. I think there is also a difference between like actively fizzling someone out and actually accepting like the natural cycles of relationships. So
yes.
At some points in your life, you might be really close because of what you're going through. You're both going through a similar thing. And then all of a sudden you're like just very different places. And maybe you're a little less close. You don't talk as often. And then maybe it comes back. But neither at any point of that, you're just like, oh, I don't want to be friends with you. Right? I think the active fizzling out, like, you know, just sunsetting friendship is when you don't really see eye to eye with them about whether maybe it's nothing like that dramatic, like you said earlier, like they're toxic. Maybe it's not that, but it's just, I don't really think that we'll ever be like, I don't really want to put any effort into this. I don't think we'll ever be that close. And I think I'm just going to sort of slowly pull out and just not go back in. So I think that there's a difference between that. But do you think that all of this needs this much like thought? Like
I do, actually.
Okay.
I actually think that it does, because I think that there are so many like, I don't want to say misconnections, but just like you never know how someone else is feeling really. And like I think I think that there's a lot of focus put on, for women it's relationships and for men it's their careers. And in both cases, the friendship is sort of this like, oh, it's great if you have them, but if you don't, you can live without them. And I actually don't think human beings can really be okay without friends. I think we're like social animals and we're designed to rely on people around us, like a certain number of them. And obviously having like a tight-knit family, I'm not saying like, you know, your sister can't be a friend for somebody. But I think like isolation, there's all these studies that like being isolated is like can take years off your life. Like isolation is like really detrimental to your health. Mm-hmm. And I think that like people don't necessarily realize that they're like, that they're on the way to that. Because they're not valuing the people around them, or they're not dedicating the time, or they're thinking like, oh, when my work slows down or when my relationship is bad, I'll go back to friends. But like, you really need friends. Like your husband can't be everyone for you. Your kids can't be everyone for you. And I think that it's, and I'm not saying you need like 20 friends. You don't need 60 of your closest girlfriends, Ramona. Like you just need, you really just need one real friend.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. One to two. Just not to put all that pressure on that one. But I right. agree. And I'm glad you, yeah. I'm glad you pointed out, because I wanted to say this before, that your partner, your his significant other, husband, whatever is your partner or your chosen one that you live with is your end all be all. And I don't, sure, they can be a best friend. I think that society puts too much pressure on like your partner to be everything. Mm-hmm. And once you sort of accept that, you know, all these people are just like, oh, they have to have the exact sense of humor as me, and they have the exact same sense of taste of music and arts and TV as me. And I'm like, when you accept that that's not realistic and you can seek that out in other people, you'll realize that your health and you'll just be more fulfilled. Like for me, like Rusty and I like find a lot of things funny, same things funny, but not all things funny. Like I can laugh about something else entirely with like you or Jordana or like,
totally,
you know, and it's a different type of laughter. It's a different type of like, you get it. Like I wouldn't tell Rusty this. He'd be like, oh, LOL. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. I have that too. Like we just have like different things.
Yeah.
Like we're on different wavelengths about certain things, and that's like fine because I'm on the same wavelength with other people about it.
Exactly. Like, and you don't have to judge your relationship.
By being on the same wavelength about everything.
Totally. For that. You know, like there's so many other ways in which you're fulfilled by that person. And that person doesn't have to be everything to you. And that's where friendships come in. And I know you were saying like health is related to friendships, not just because like it's the like isolation is so bad for you, but because friendships do fulfill a lot for you. Like they add a lot to your life. And like whether that's having someone to confide in, if like your relationship is not amazing, or someone to confide in you if like you want to talk about like an in-law that you can't talk to your or just right. like anything that's happening. Like I said, like if I want to share something like really disgusting that I find hilarious about like myself, I wouldn't necessarily tell Rusty. Like I would send like a funny video to like Alexa. You know what I mean? So it's like that having that people for different things in your life is also just as important.
Right. And for all the talk of like social anxiety and how like much we have it, and I do, being with people actually does increase like your mood, and it brings you, it takes you out of yourself for a minute and like, or an hour or whatever. And it really does add to your life. Even if you're like, want to cancel and you're like, I don't want to talk to anyone. Once I do it, I'm always like, oh, that was great that I did that.
You know, that's the thing that I wanted to say earlier that I totally like lost spaced out is social anxiety. And like, I don't think that people would think that I have social anxiety, but I have so much social anxiety. And it's like, not necessarily like just being around people gives me anxiety. It's like the anticipation of what are we going to talk about?
Yeah. Then like when you're in the convos, I'm like so in myself.
You're just like in my head. So intensely and like, yeah, so how about that weather? And you're like, shit, did I just talk about the weather? And you're just like, you know, like all of that. You just get so in your head.
I think everyone's feeling this way. I think everyone's feeling this way after the pandemic. No, I have too. I've always felt like, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about with people? Mm-hmm. But like, honestly, at this point, I'm just sort of like, whatever. I don't know. Like at some point, like I stopped caring as much. And it's more like, okay, this is more my social anxiety. Unless I am in like a zero pressure situation, like being 100% left alone, I feel some level of anxiety. So it's not like the people's fault. It's just when there is like, put me in the elevator and I feel anxiety.
Oh my
like,
God.
It's just like, it's just the act of being anywhere besides my cave.
Yeah.
Small bouts of anxiety.
My challenge is being okay with silence. And it's just accepting like lulls. Like I need to fill them. Rusty's worse, but I need to fill them.
I need to fill them too. I hate them. I'm like, oh my God, this person just like, oh my God, we're so awkward. I'm so awkward.
Yeah, we're so awkward.
Like, I'm not, am I a human? Like,
should I bring up the heat? Like, wave or have it?
Yeah. Yeah, like, do you want, right? And when you don't have a drink, it's even harder. That's why, like, having like one drink, I can't imagine not even having one drink. Cause like, I need that to like make the lull less painful.
Also, not to tie this back into dating, but I'm gonna do it. That's why with women meeting women friends, it's the easiest thing to make a friendship around what diet you're on, how you wanna lose weight, all like the superficial stuff. I found it so easy. And how quick, well, when I was more in it,
why we were able to get to this point of our friendship, because we were like, first we were like, we broke the seal with our body image issues.
Yeah. No, but I'm
serious. And then we discovered we have a passion for the finer things.
When I, finer things in life club. When I was more in it, like way more in it, which most of my life. But I found it so easy to talk about like what you're doing to lose weight or like what you're eating or you're not eating. And like you enjoy it. You get like this high off of talking about it.
Commiserating over like how clothes are like hard to fit or whatever.
I don't engage in those conversations as much anymore. And it's
once
hard,
you eliminate body image talks, gossip, the weather, you literally have television left.
Can we put the weather back in the category of acceptable?
The weather, okay, look. The weather, now that climate change is here and the weather's insane, I think the weather is now acceptable to talk about.
I think the weather.
It was fucking so hot on June 6th that I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this. Something's wrong. Think
the weather, take climate change though out of it. we don't have to politicize necessarily weather at this point.
I don't think it's political, it's scientific.
Fine. You know, well, it depends how the person is thinking about it on the other end. But for me, like, we're all experiencing the weather, right? Like, it's all affecting our lives. Like, you wake up and you check the weather because it affects what you're going to do, what you're going to wear, how you're going to feel. And
you can't even have a party.
How big my feet are going to be at that current moment right now. So I think we should allow, let's normalize weather conversations.
Yeah, also, okay. It's okay. We're also, the weather determines so much more than like everyone wants to admit. Like, remember Memorial Day weekend? No, it changed everybody's weekend, the weather. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're not going to talk about the fact that it's raining and therefore your plans are ruined.
Yeah.
And you're not having the plans. What are you doing?
Exactly. Another type of conversation that Tony Soprano said was the lowest form of conversation was remember when, which I disagree. I think reminiscing and nostalgia.
It depends how much you do it.
Okay,
it depends
fine,
how much you do
all
it.
All the time, but to me, it is so enjoyable. I can put myself back in my shoes and I can laugh harder than I laughed in that moment. And it feels so good, but not all the time, I agree.
Here's the thing. I actually do agree with him, but it depends like how much and in what context. Because sometimes a good remember when can be like perfect.
Yeah.
But other times it's like, okay, we've fucking relived this 35 times. I mean,
okay,
like,
as long as it's not a constant reliving. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, another theme we want to talk about is how do you not compete with friends or feel jealous or resentful of them as everyone, you know, you graduate college and you move into different life stages and you might have different things happening at different times. Someone might be making a lot of money in their job and you might really be struggling, or someone might be in a relationship that's amazing and you might have just literally gone through a horrible breakup. And this happens like a lot, you know, I think about like even when you get to like the stage of moms, like you could have a friend who's really having trouble conceiving and then a friend who's like on her third kid. Like there's so many times where that comes into play. And I just wonder, like, how do you manage that? Have you ever dealt with that? Like,
how to manage jealousy or
competition or like resentment over something?
Trying to think if it's like something specific or general of other people. Or sometimes it's not necessarily, So maybe it's less of a jealousy about what they're doing, but more so like if I'm in a different stage as you, like you only want to hang out with the people that are in the exact same stage as you. So it's yeah. like you feel like a left out feeling. You know what I mean? Like if I was dating Rusty in 2014. So there was a lot of friends of ours that were like single for a long period of time that I was just like, I felt so, you know, oh, you don't want to hang out with me anymore because I'm not like trying to like hook up with people at this point where I was like a hookup monster. Sorry, Rusty. Before.
Well, I think probably you know what like I mean? On the other side, they probably were like, I wish I had a relationship like Aileen does that's stable and like, you know, I was not part of that because that was like my Israel time. So I was not one of the ones who, you started dating Rusty the day I went to Israel. Like literally you were like, Rusty's my boyfriend officially that day that I left.
Really? What day was that?
Yeah. It was like August something.
Oh my God. Like, it was August 20th. It was on my wedding anniversary, coincidentally. That's so funny.
Also like my wedding anniversary. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Totally. Like I think for me the biggest point of like jealousy has always been that like our friends are so thin and never had to, or many of them are so thin and never had to like struggle to wear cute stuff or like hook up with like had an easier time with guys. We're finding like that first guy. Obviously, there's like, you know, because of that. And I always felt like, oh, I'm like not the hot one. Like but then I will say something that I think post-college always gave me confidence was that we had this business and I always felt like, oh, like we, like I have something that I feel like I really can own and feel like not own, like, well, own, but
that you're proud of,
more like that I'm proud of and that I have like a place. And I think that one of the easiest ways to not feel jealousy or competition is to know that like you have your own path and your own place. And that it's okay if it doesn't have all the components that theirs have.
Right. Yeah. So I was going to ask, I guess the follow-up question is how do you, well, let's say you don't have anything that like special. Say you don't have like this special, like a company, like that's unique. Yeah. Like you're just, you have a job like everybody else. You know, you're on apps like everyone else. And, you know, how do you sort of navigate that comparison, you know? I know, as Tink says, comparison is the thief of joy.
So as Tink said, like Gandhi before her. Yeah. For like someone.
How but, do you, which I maybe that is how you navigate, is have some sort of mantra or something that you can fall back on to remind yourself that, you know, this jealousy or this feeling of like inadequacy because of some perceived status of someone else is
making it work, is harming you.
It's harming you. Like maybe just constantly just reminding yourself that it actually doesn't mean anything and think about it's a perception thing and not a real thing. And that, you know, once you get rid of that jealousy, like you have more room for joy, or like you have more room for that other thing, that thing that you want to happen.
Right. Also, like, this is just one point in time. Like, you might be the one who seems to have it all later, and they might not. And I think that, like, sort of just like trying to look at your friend as like, okay, they're not like the person who has the boyfriend and with this, like, they're just this person, they're just like my friend. Yeah. And to try to like think about like why you're friends with them and like focus on those things, like that they're not all this stuff that surrounds them, because ultimately like if someone's rich, they could become not rich. If someone, you know, whatever they have, like it could.
Status,
and I'm not saying you wish that to go away, but like that's not who they are. That's just like where they are now. And and I think going back to like, you don't want to kind of like turn around and it's like, where did all my friends go? Like you don't want that resentment to get in the way of like what could be a really important person in your life.
Mm-hmm. I think the place where it does get tricky is if that person is trying to like impose advice they're like, you know, solicited or unsolicited advice on like how you could do X, Y, Z, you know, because they think that they're like the expert now because they have it. I think that happens often. And I feel like, what would you do in that scenario? If let's say either somebody lost weight and then all of a sudden they're like telling you what you should do, or like, or you can't help but ask what they did, you know?
I would probably just silently harbor some resentment and then go tell someone else what's bothering
me. Talk shit.
Not even talk shit. Like, I mean, say to someone else, like, I am struggling because of this, like, because of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I couldn't say it to the person, but I could say to someone else, I feel jealous.
Okay. I think that also, like, you could, to that, if you were to say to that person, you don't have to say I'm jealous, but you could say, like, I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate it, but, like, I'm not really, like, thanks, but, you know, I got it.
Thanks. Right.
I got it. You know, I'm doing my own thing. I figured it out. I'm working as I go.
Yeah, you know, Yeah. I think it's, like, every situation is so, like, specific and particular.
Mm-hmm. Totally. But that does happen. And if you are a person who does that and imposes unsolicited advice to someone who you perceive is not as together in a way that you think that you are, stop now.
Yeah.
Please do that friend and everyone else a favor and stop now. All right, guys. Well, if you guys have any, you know, thoughts, ideas, friends, help, and you need help navigating any type of friendship questions, we do answer Dear DSTs on Thursdays. Or if you have a win around a friendship, again, like our not scale wins do not have to be around food or eating. It could just be about something like this. Like health is about everything in your life. It's not just about food. Email us DST@betches.com. Send us your Dear DSTs, DST@betches.com, or DM us at Diet Starts Tomorrow. And maybe make some friends in the DSTers Facebook group if you want. There's lots of action in there.
You all have this podcast in common, at least.
At least. This is a good place to start. You guys can just be like, I'm such an elite. No, I'm such a Sam.
I actually do think that, like, having shared interest in, like, what you consume media-wise is actually a good, not, like, that's not going to, like, make your whole friendship, but I do think that's, like, a good starting point because it shows, like, typically, it shows that you're entertained by the same things, you value the same things, you enjoy the same, like, atmosphere, I would say. So, yeah, you know, maybe that's a place to start.
It's a place to start for sure. So go join that Facebook group. Follow us. I'm at Aileen. Sammy's at Sammy with one M and one I. And and we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to DST@betches.com. Betches.